Wednesday, April 23rd, 1986. The preacher is Dr. Dean Hempelman. The sermon text is from Exodus chapter 33, verses 1 through 23. The sermon theme is When Moses Met God in the Tent.
The Old Testament lesson is from the 33rd chapter of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses, Depart, go up hence, you and the people whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, To your descendants I will give it, and I will send an angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go up among you, lest I consume you in the way. For you are a stiff-necked people. When the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, Say to the people of Israel, You are a stiff-necked people. If for a single moment I should go up among you, I would consume you. So now put off your ornaments from you, that I may know what to do with you. Therefore, the people of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the Tent of Meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the Tent of Meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose up, and every man stood at his tent door and looked after Moses until he had gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of the cloud would descend and stand at the door of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the door of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, every man at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as a man speaks to his friend. When Moses turned again into the camp, his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tent. Moses said to the Lord, See, thou sayest to me, Bring up this people, but thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know you by name, and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, show me now thy ways, that I may know thee and find favor in thy sight. Consider, too, that this nation is thy people. And he said, My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And he said to him, If thy presence will not go with me, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? Is it not in thy going with us, so that we are distinct, I and thy people, from all other people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Moses said, I pray thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But, he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand upon the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. This is the text. These words tell us what happened when Moses met God in the tent. Moses always met God outside the camp. Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the Tent of Meeting, and there was a reason for this. We heard it in the first three verses. God's patience with the stubborn and straying Israelites was to a breaking point. For the sake of his oath, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he would send his Hebrews on their way to Palestine. But his only contact with his people was through Moses in tent meetings outside the camp, away from the stubborn and stiff-necked Israelites. In Moses' tent, God, in a peculiar form of manifestation, spoke mouth to mouth to Moses. Things are wonderfully different, my friends. In the New Testament, St. John says, the Word became flesh and tented among us, right in our midst. In the midst of all our burdens, sin, and death. No tenting of God outside our camp here, outside the camp of our world with all its distresses and evils. In our midst, God tented for 33 years in the person of Jesus so that we might have fellowship with him forever. This condescension of God strengthens us and encourages us in a real sense to behold his covenant love. Moses realized the futility of any venture without God. And he said to him, if thy presence will not go with me, do not carry us up from here. This was a good insight on Moses' part. He realized that even Palestine, with all its milk and honey, without God's presence, would be a barren and joyless place. Likewise, St. Paul in the epistle, he notes that his ministry among the people would not have been possible had it not been for the presence of God in the gospel as he carried out his ministry. Do we have the same conviction? If the Lord should say to us, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, and you can pick the state, but I won't go with you, would you reply, oh, that's all right, Lord, just so long as we have the milk and honey, the goods and the good things, people to love us and serve us. Apply this to your soon-to-be-received calls and your life of service to the Lord and his holy church. Moses realized the futility of any venture without God. He prayed to God and he received the promise of rest. God told Moses, my presence will go before you and I will give you rest. It was through Joshua, of course, that God kept his promise. And even so, it is through Joshua that he keeps a similar promise to us. Through Joshua, not the son of Nun, but the son of Mary, the Greek is Jesus. God gives the rest of heaven. Jesus, the second Joshua, who was so restless in his ministry of healing and love. Jesus, who literally worked himself to the grave and then back again so that we might have the rest of heaven. When Moses met God in the tent, the Lord informed him that he knew his name. And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. Now, this doesn't simply mean that God had some kind of an intellectual awareness of Moses. God's knowledge of people always results in something, in his shepherding them, in his loving them, in his guiding and helping them. And it's the same for us. God knows you by name. The name marked upon you already at baptism? Oh, and what a comfort when God lays his claim upon us. How many times, for instance, did you sit down yesterday or stand up? Did you count them? God knows you're down sitting and you're uprising. Or in the chapter in which the Holy Gospel for today is, God knows the very hairs upon your head. What a comfort. And what a warning. You can't pull the shades over the eyes of God and perform any private sins. He knows. Not only does God know us, he discloses his name. We read, "And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." This is the ultimate answer to Moses' question at the burning bush. You remember Moses asked, "Who are you?" God said, "I am who I am." And here God completes the sentence, so to speak. "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious." That's God's name. Grace. His grace first became manifest when Adam and Eve sinned and they did not die. In fact, God clothed them. When Cain killed Abel, Cain was cursed by God, but a protective relationship was already initiated by God between him and Cain. With the flood, God begins with mankind anew. There's a new ordered world. Therefore, St. Paul convincingly says, where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. Yes, grace is God's name. The grace the Lord showed further in electing the despised and wretched Hebrews to be his people. The grace he showed in guiding them, putting up with their grumblings and stubbornness in the desert. The grace he showed in sending manna and quail from heaven instead of his merited thunderbolts. And it is in Jesus for us that God discloses his name. St. John tells us that Jesus is God in the flesh. It is in this tent that God reveals his name to us, the name Savior. We are saved from the curse of the law by Christ's death. For a person takes the law seriously when he takes seriously that Jesus has come who fulfills the law. That is, we must recognize and realize that the intention of the law is fulfilled, not by way of scribe and Pharisee, not by way of a legalism that says that man is capable as man of confronting and fulfilling the uncompromising claim of God in his law. No, only by Christ's imputed righteousness does our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, and we enter the kingdom of heaven. And when Moses met God in the tent, the Lord showed him his back. But he said, "You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." Moses couldn't behold God's face. It would have met death if he had beheld it. And yet it's by looking on God's face that we live. We look upon the face of God in Jesus Christ, that smiling and forgiving face, that face lined with the sorrows and the trials of life, that face cold and lifeless in death's cruel rigor, and that face that is pulsing with life again. We look upon that face of God in Christ, and we live forever. And God had to cover Moses in order to save him. We read, "And I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by." By the cover of his hand, God spared Moses from certain death. By the cover of his son, God spares us from eternal death. It is not by a hand that God covers us, but with his own dear son. Christ is the covering for our sins. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. Moses met God in the tent, and we meet God in Christ, our Savior, risen from the dead, who covers our sins. Now we feast at his table in his presence. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.